joy in being in the presence of the Lord. We had a great time in Bible study this morning. If you're not plugged into a Bible study at 9:15, I encourage you to come and join us. We have all sorts of classes to choose from, but we're going through 1 Thessalonians right now. God's Word is so rich, we encourage you to be a part of that. Aren't you glad you're here this morning? Amen. Reach around and shake a hand with those right around you. Give us a little bit of time. Thank you. God's my Savior. God's my healer. God's my deliverer. Do you believe it? Do you claim it? He is the great I am. Amen. Let's pray together. As you pray with me this morning, church, praise Him. Praise Him. Heavenly Father, for this day that you have called us all together, Faith Princeton and all of our wonderful guests here this morning, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Yes, Lord, that is due your name. What a privilege it is for us to be here in your house, lifting up the voices that you've given to us, and lifting up all that we are just to say, you are worthy, Lord, of our praise. Receive this praise, Lord. May our worship be authentic in your eyes. No show whatsoever. Find our hearts pure and our minds pure as we sing praise this morning. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
One breath that gives life, one
seated. Praise the Lord with your applause. That's wonderful. You know what? When I'm worshiping with you, I don't say this often, but I enjoy hearing the band worship as well. And Glenn, that slur, I always tease Glenn. He can't find the right note, but you know what he's doing? He's sliding there, and it's beautiful. I love hearing the band worship. I love hearing you worship. And as we said earlier, may it be authentic. May it be authentic. And it's good to have fun, isn't it? Good to enjoy being in church. I hope you enjoy coming in to the presence of the Lord and worshiping. We've got just a few opportunities to run past you. First of all, if you're our guest today, thank you for coming and worshiping with us. If you've not filled out that Connect card there in the bulletin, we encourage you to do so. Give us some information about yourself. We'd love to get with you this week and just to share with you a little bit more. You know, right after church, for all of our guests, even if you have not signed up, we've got plenty of food next door for all of our guests. If you'd like to know more information about what we believe the Bible teaches and the ministries here at Faith Princeton, we have a special luncheon for you next door over in the Faith Center. We encourage you to join us and just fellowship with us this afternoon. Next Sunday is our men's breakfast. Men, if you've not come to our breakfast, it's a wonderful time. We get together at 7:30, break open God's Word together, break bread together as well, and it's a wonderful time. We encourage you to come join us over in the gymnasium next Sunday morning at 7:30. Those of y'all that have not had an opportunity to go camping with us, we take a group over to Lake Hawkins in East Texas. And if you have a tent or if you have an RV you'd like to join us, we're going to go. There's some information there in the bulletin about that. And also Costa Rica is coming up as well. We had a wonderful turnout for our informative meeting last week. Let me encourage you to continue to pray about going with us. We've got 10 signed up right now, and we're just excited. I'd love to have 13 or 14 and go. And the more people we have, the more churches we can serve with. So would you pray about going with us and contact me if you'd like more information. Next Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, spaghetti supper on the house. Ooh, perked you up, didn't it? The young people are putting together a spaghetti supper, a Valentine banquet for our church, and you probably received a flyer when you came in the worship center today, but if you didn't, hit up one of our young people. Someone looks younger than me, they'll have one of those flyers, and be a wonderful time for our church to fellowship together. I'll not be here next week. Stan's going to lead in worship. Greg's going to be bringing God's word. Jamie and I are flying down to Costa Rica. And I have the privilege of marrying two of our translators this coming Saturday. So what a privilege that is for us to go down there. I'll be preaching in a local church down there just to praise the Lord for the opportunities he gives us. Just keep loving on and ministering to our wonderful friends down there. I always enjoy when Stan comes up and leads, whether I'm preaching here or not. You know, God's given him that special talent and gift as well. And so I miss when you lead and I'm not here, but looking forward to watching online when we have that opportunity. Wow. You ever think about this day? You ever think about when you get up? I hope you do. This day, what does this look like for you and I? In the eyes of the Lord and all that he is to us, all that he offers to us, aren't you grateful? Church, aren't you grateful for his mercies that are new each and every day? Let's stand and just with a grateful heart right now, a grateful heart, worship him and just thank him for all the mercies that he's given to you and I. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new and Lamentations chapter 3. Let me share this scripture with you this morning. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have no hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. May God add to the reading of his word. You may be seated.
Morning by morning, day after day. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you are a God that shows us new mercy every day. We're thankful, Lord, that it is beyond what we can do. It is your faithfulness. You ascribe it to us. It's not earned. It's not deserved. But it is favor that you give us, Lord. And we are thankful that you are a God that loves us the way that you do. A love that passes all understanding. Mercy that's new, that passes all understanding. May we rest in that today. May we praise your name in that truth today. It's in the name of the Father we pray. Amen.
Amen. Have you had any new mercies this week? Have you had any new mercies today? How many of you have had, okay, y'all are just non-responsive today, so how many of you have had new mercies already today? Okay, let's ask again. How many of you have had new mercies already today? Everybody raise your hand. The fact that you're breathing, the fact that Satan has not just destroyed you completely this morning is all because of the mercy of God. All because we've got a God who loves us and protects us from an evil enemy that wants to destroy us, and from that evil enemy that you sometimes look at in the mirror, who has become a saint instead of the sinner separated from God. And so here we are, all of us, every breath we take is a new mercy from God. This is one of my favorite passages. I feel like I've been saying that every week, you know, but we're looking at these all things new. And this sermon series has been good for me again at the beginning of a new year to think about new things. And I actually had the opportunity to go Friday to the high school for the FCA meeting Friday morning. And I got to share with them about God's new mercy. And that was really cool because I thought about it in a different way than I thought about it before, is kind of to-do list. How many of y'all are to-do listers? You write down a to-do list. Okay. Well, there was probably 35, 40 students in there, and I asked that, and there were about four of them raised their hands. And I said, well, when I was in high school, I was not a to-do list maker. I had to learn to do that later, And anyway, there are certain things that if they don't get written down, and if I don't put them in my phone and those kind of things, a list of things to do, a lot of times things will get neglected that need to be done. And I thought about this passage in that way. You know, it's a passage that I love, these verses, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. And most of us who have been in church for any time at all have heard these verses. You may not have known they were from Lamentations. You may have thought that some hymn writer made them up. Because a lot of our songs, a lot of our hymns, the great hymns of our faith, like Great is Thy Faithfulness, comes from this verse. That song that the ladies just sang, I love that. That was a song that's been around here for a while. I never heard it on the radio or growing up, but Charles found that for our ladies ensemble several years ago to sing. And I love both the music and the melody of it, because it, to me, it just reminds me that God's mercy flows. And God's mercy flows new every morning. And aren't you glad? You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, you know, basically, God's mercy is new every morning, or else we'd be destroyed. And so I wanted us to look today at Lamentations chapter 3 as we're in this new mercy, this thing about new mercy and about God's loving kindness. And have you ever thought about whether God has a to-do list? I want you to just think about that. Now, Caroline, she was at that FCA meeting, and I only had 15 minutes. I mean, and it was like the school bell's going to ring in 15 minutes. And I finished in 15 minutes, and Caroline said, why can't you do that on Sunday? No, she didn't actually say that. So it may go a little longer than 15 minutes today. But it's such a beautiful truth. Let's stand together as we read. We're going to read verses 19 through 33. And I want you to realize that the context of this, these verses, is a context of suffering. The people of God were going through a time of suffering. They were oppressed by enemies. They had not seen a successful nation. They had had poor leaders, poor government. They had some poverty and some famine and all sorts of problems had happened. And they kept calling out to God, God, why? In fact, Lamentations is Jeremiah. The word lamentations means crying out in anguish. And so he's crying out in anguish, God, why is all this happening? And then for him, it was doubly bad because the people were all crying about God not being faithful. And Jeremiah, at the same time, as he was preaching, he preached for 40 years and never had a single convert. The people wanted to throw him in jail. They wanted to throw him in a deep, dark well, and they did. They said, shut up. We don't want to hear your message. God's not doing anything for us. We're doing what we're supposed to do, and God's not coming through for us. And Jeremiah kept calling out with his book of prophecy and then the lamentations of saying, God, they're not even listening to me. Why am I keep calling out? And God comes back to remind him, listen, it's not about you. It's about the God we serve. And sometimes when you're going through hard times, maybe it's hard times of your own making. Maybe you've made some bad choices. Maybe you've chosen sin and it's wrecked things in your life because sin wrecks things. And you're sitting here today or standing here today saying, I'm in trouble and I know it. And I keep coming to church because I'm hoping that there's a God out there who's listening to my prayers. Let me tell you, there is a God out there who listens to your prayer. There's a God here that listens to your prayers. And if you belong to him, there's a God here that hears every prayer and prays for you. Some of you have gotten into situations not of your own making. Maybe your job played out. And now you're working or trying to find a job that will meet the budget, but you can't find a job on the same income level. I know there's hard times that come to us. Some of you are here and you're crying out to God every week because you see the mess that our nation is in. And we have an election year starting and it looks like complete chaos already. Guess what? We have a God who's on his throne and is working all things for his glory and for our good. So let's remember that as we see those verse, that first word in chapter, verse 19. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down with me within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness is never, indeed, never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and be silent since he has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. Perhaps there is hope. Let him give his cheek to the smiter. Let him be filled with reproach, for the Lord will not reject forever. For if he causes grief, then he will have compassion, according to his abundant loving kindness. For he does not afflict willingly or grieve the sons of men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your loving kindnesses. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, help it to cause us not to abandon abandon the life of faith that we have and go into things knowing that you'll forgive us. But Lord, help it to instill in us a love for you and a faithfulness to you because of your kindnesses. that we seek you, that we search for you, that we wait for you, that we trust you. Lord, help us be people of your mercy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated and keep your Bibles open as we go through this. And that those first 4 or 5 verses, and Kathy, you may have to take over because my clicker's not clicking. But in verses 19 through 35, as we look at those things, he says, therefore I have hope. And so we're going to talk about hope today, because I think there's a loss of hope in our society. I shared with the students, as a chaplain of the police department, I get call outs sometimes. And the saddest call out that I receive is one of a suicide, where someone has lost hope, given up because of the situations, whether it's their own making or sicknesses or different things. And they're, but we hear about it a lot, don't we? People just giving up. See, a lot of times when hard times come, people either lose hope and try to take their own lives, or they'll try and take stuff from other people to make themselves feel better. But when Jeremiah is thinking about it, he says, let me tell you about where hope is built. And Kathy, if you'll go to that next slide. Hope is not built on us. There is nothing in you that can produce hope. There is nothing about you that can produce hope. And you may say, no, wait, but I'm pretty talented in my job, or I'm pretty intelligent, so I can get myself through things. And that's what the world's trying to teach you today is, look, you don't need anybody else but yourself. That's the oldest sin and the oldest temptation in the book, is Satan telling Eve, you don't need God. You can be just like God. If you'll just take of this fruit and do it the way you want to do it, you're going to be okay by yourself. And yet God's word had said, no, there'll be death when you try to go your own way. And so we've got to get to a point where we realize we are hopeless beings without Christ. There is no hope for eternal life, for sure. A lot of people say, yeah, I understand that. But there's no hope for daily life without Christ. Because things that come in this life will be stronger and more powerful than you are able to bear, apart from the greater that is he that is in us. You need the strength of Christ to get through this life. And you might say, well, I've made it this far. Two questions I'd have. Have you? Do you really have a peace and a joy and a purpose about your life that you'd say, man, my life is the life everybody ought to be living? And even those that seem to have all the success the world has to give, I think the suicide rate is higher in those who are the rich and famous than it is even in the mundane population. See, money can't buy you happiness. Money can't buy you hope. And every one of us has an enemy that is more powerful than us. But we have a Savior who's more powerful than the enemy. The enemy is a lion seeking whom he may destroy. But our Savior is one who is seeking those that he can uplift, those he can protect. So hope's not built on us, it's not built on our circumstances or our resources, has to be built on God. And we see this in these verses. Verse 22, he says, the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. And so I was thinking about that to-do list of God. And on God's to-do list today and every moment is show loving kindness. Some translations show mercy. You know, faithful love. Every day on God's to-do list, every moment of his existence and his eternity, he has on his to-do list love. In fact, when we think about that, he describes himself in his word, God is love. So every moment, God is seeking how he can show his love how he can demonstrate his love because that's who he is. Aren't you glad about that? He's faithful to his love. And that verse 23, that new mercies every day, the New American Standard, his compassions never fail. Your translation may say it another way. I love the translation that says he makes his mercy new every day, every morning. And I love what that means is that yesterday I might have blown it. 3 days ago, I might, 3 years, 30 years ago, I may have blown it. And those things Satan keeps bringing up to us, and our guilt keeps bringing up to us when God says, look, today's new. It's brand new. You can serve me today. One of the things that on Wednesday nights, some of our men are going to start a men's Bible study called the Titus 10 based on Titus. And you're welcome to join them at 6:30 while the other Bible studies and activities are going on. And I got to read that book. And that whole idea of things in the past marring everything about us, God makes his mercy new every day. And the author, who's a pastor, said he used to measure his Christian walk in distance. How far have I come since I met Christ? Or how far do I have yet to go? And he said, every time I measured it in distance, I was always disappointed in myself. I was always frustrated. I was always guilty because I know I should have been farther than I am. And he said, you know, in the Bible, it's not measured by distance. It's measured by direction. So because every morning we get up, what's the direction we're headed? If the direction we're heading is towards Jesus, then today is a day I'm in God's spirit and I'm walking with him and he's pleased. It's not about direction or height or all those kind of things. He said that the heights and the depths and the widths and all those are supposed to be measurements about God's love that you cannot measure. There's not a distance to God's love that you can measure. But it's about direction. Where are you headed today? I don't care how bad you messed up yesterday or 3 days ago. He makes his mercies new today. And he says, are you going to follow me today? I've shared this with many of you. When I first started pastoring, it's like I'd been through seminary, Bible school, seminary, had worked at an associate pastor, youth minister, and got here as a pastor. And man, that first year and a half, I just struggled because the weight of, man, I didn't call that person or this person needed help or this, and I don't know the answers for this person or that. And it was just this weight. And I was saying to several people, and they just kept saying, pastors would say, just keep going, you're going to do okay and everything else. And my dad, finally, I said, Dad, I don't know if I'm doing all I'm supposed to be doing. And my dad said, are you being faithful to the Lord every day? And I said, as much as I know, I'm trying to be, and yeah, I'm trying to be faithful. I said, you're doing all you're supposed to do. See, too often we complicate things when God says, look, I just want you in relationship with me. And my loving kindness is all over you. Now just come to me today. And then when tomorrow comes, you'll come to me tomorrow and we'll walk together in life. He makes his mercy new every day. Some of you need to give up some of the guilt that you've been carrying all your life. Some of you need to lay down the baggage of I'm not good enough, or some words that maybe parents told you growing up that you'll never amount to anything, or all of these things that come to be our baggage that we're trying to get through life, and just experience the new mercy of God today, where there's a God who has loved you for all eternity saying, you're mine and that's enough. My mercy is new for you today. You're not who you used to be. You're not what somebody said you were. You're not what you think you are or want to be. You are the creation that I created in love every day and every morning. Get up tomorrow morning and experience his newness of mercy. And just say, God, today I'm walking with you. At verse 24, talks about our inheritance. It says, the Lord is my portion. In some translation, the New Living Translation is one of the ones that I like to do my devotional Bible out of. And it says, the Lord is my inheritance. I started thinking about our inheritance. We'll never receive our inheritance completely because our Father never dies. Right? I mean, aren't you glad about that? We have a God who's enduring forever. So we're never going to take his throne and get all that inheritance. But the thing about being the son of the king of the universe or the daughter of the king of the universe, you don't have to sit on the throne to enjoy the blessings of the Father. The whole kingdom is part of our inheritance. And the Bible talks about there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth and everything's going to be refreshed and it's going to be brand new and it's going to be perfect and God will be reigning and Jesus will be reigning with him and everything's, I don't know what's going to happen in our elections this year. And I tell you, humanly speaking, it scares me where our country could be going. But not spiritually speaking, because if our country heads all the way down, there's going to be a lot of people looking for hope. Guess what? I know the man of hope. If for some reason there's a revival in our land and people start saying we need to live by righteous decrees and righteous laws, and suddenly there's a lot of righteousness that takes over in our court system and in our legal and political systems, and suddenly there's this newness, a great awakening, another great awakening in America where people are seeking after God, then we're going to say, man, our worship services are going to be full, and we're going to be praising that faithful God morning by morning, and we're going to be encouraging one another. Man, look how good this is when God's people dwell together. No matter which way our nation goes, no matter which way family matters go, or our community matters go, or our job matters go, it doesn't matter, because you know the one who does matter. He said, the Lord is my portion. Someday I'm going home to heaven where I've got a mansion or a room in a mansion, whatever it is, waiting for me. So the Lord is my portion. I've got everything I need, but I have hope in him today, because not only is he my portion for the future, my inheritance for the future, he's already doled out his Holy Spirit to me, so I have all that I need. Are you trusting in him? And then verse 25, the Lord is, I was just seeing if y'all were paying attention. The Lord is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. He's, and I said he's good to waiters and seekers. Let me just do an aside real quickly about waiters. I still remember one of our evangelists coming in was preaching one time about how he talked to a waiter at a restaurant one time, and the waiter said he hated Sunday afternoons because the church crowd came in, they tipped poorly, and they complained more than anybody. That shouldn't be that way, people, right? Okay, that has nothing to do with the sermon because that's not the type of waiters he's talking about, but it is going to come up in a minute about how we should be living. But to waiters and seekers, people who will wait on the Lord to say, God, I'm not going to try and fix this myself if I can't fix it. I know you're wanting me to wait to let you fix it. There are certain things he's going to give you wisdom about what you're supposed to do. There are certain things he's going to say, look, you can't fix this. I don't know how many Christians are paralyzed because they're thinking about all the problems of the world out there that they cannot fix, and yet they won't go next door to their neighbor and say, hey, can I tell you about my best friend? Think about all the problems of the world out there and worrying about what's going to happen out there when God is giving them an opportunity, an open door to reconcile with their family. or when God is giving them the opportunity to say, I don't want to buy this thing today. Instead, I'll devote myself to helping others. You understand what I'm saying there? See, a lot of times we're trying to fix our own emptinesses by buying stuff and by filling it with entertainment or this or that or the other, when God says, you know, the ones that I'm going to be good to are those who are waiting on me and seeking me. Greg next week will be preaching from getting the newness of strength to mount up with wings as eagles. I love that passage too. That's one of my favorites. Oh yeah, they're all my favorites. This good to waiters and seekers, God's teaching that to me this year. I mean, I think God really wants to drive this home to me this year. Because I spend time with the Lord, but do I really wait on him? To really seek him completely. I don't know about y'all, but there's a lot of my time that I use for me. There's a lot of my time I might use for people that I love. But all of my time belongs to God. He says, listen, if you'll wait on me, if you'll... One of the hardest things for people to do in our culture is sit still. Just sit still and be in the presence of God. Read God's word and just meditate on it. It still haunts me, the truth that people say, everybody has the same amount of day. Everybody has the same amount of time in every day. Because how many times have you said, I'd love to do that, but I just don't have time for it. You've got time for whatever God calls you to. It's just whether you're willing to wait on him and experience his goodness. See, it's not microwavable. You understand, right? I mean, the goodness of God is not microwavable. I mean, sometimes it comes immediately. Like when we're singing songs of praise, sometimes the goodness of God just pours over us and we're saying, oh, thank you, God. There's a lot of times that the goodness of God is something that has to be tasted and seen that it is good. I mean, the people of God were in Babylon in affliction and captivity for 70 years. And even when they came out of captivity and they started rebuilding the temple walls and the walls of Jerusalem, the elders wept when they saw it, because they remembered how glorious it used to be. See, God is good if we'll wait and seek. Will we? You know, that's his to-do list then, is to be faithful in his love, to show his mercy new every day, to protect our inheritance and be our portion, and to be good to those who seek after him. Let's go on to the next verses, because this is our to-do list. And go ahead and go to that next slide, Kathy, where it talks about good. You know, we talked about hope. God's the only source of hope. What's good? And in those verses, it talks about what is good for man. And what is it good for us to do? Verse 25, we just talked about, seek him. Verse 26. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Wait for him. Wait quietly for salvation. Don't stay busy all the time. Seek God. Verse 27. Submit to discipline at an early age. In verse 27, it says, it's good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. Another translation said, bear God's discipline while you're young. Charles is helping get some stuff ready for our lunch, but you know, he said, look for somebody younger than me to get that thing about the spaghetti dinner from the youth. And I had to bite my tongue, but I'm going to go ahead and say it now. I was going to say, yeah, a lot younger than you, Charles. A lot younger than me, you know. Look for the young people. And I do want to say this, and I said this to the high schoolers. Seek to live under the Lord's discipline as a child, as a young person. One of the prayers I always pray for our children is, God, help them to find Jesus at an early age and walk with him all the days of their life. And that idea of submitting to discipline is something that our culture has thrown out. You know, no, I don't have to submit to anybody. I'm free. No, you're not. If you're a Christian, you're not free. You're free from your sin. You're free from all of that. But you're not free to do whatever you want to. Even though the nation of America says you are free to do whatever you want to, God says you're not. God says if you belong to me, you're not free to live any way you want to. You're free to live under the yoke of my lordship. But that's going to be light. It's going to be well-fitting, and it's going to be good for you. Now, those of us who have grown up in a society that says you don't have to submit to anybody, we got to keep going back to God's word that says we have to submit to everybody. We submit first to the Lord, but then he says submit to one another out of love for God. Submit to your rulers. Submit to those in authority. Do that so that they can see the love of God in you, that you're not dependent on them. I'm not dependent on my political leaders making the right choice for my life. I'm dependent on God. And he is good. And he's always going to be watching. If everything falls apart like it has in some countries, God's going to care for his kids. And we're going to be okay. No matter what, how uncomfortable we get, it's going to be okay. And so we can submit to his discipline and live according to his rule for our life from whatever age you're in. That's on your to-do list today. Submit to God. Verse 28. Again, we talked about this. Sitting alone and be silent since he has laid it on him. That whole idea of, since God has allowed whatever's going on in your life right now, sit alone and be silent in it some. You know, there's a lot of people that they talk about their problems all the time, and sometimes it should be a time of sitting alone with the Lord and saying, God, you know what's going on. What do you want to do? What do you want me to do? And how can I glorify you in the midst of this? See, we've lost that, people. We're so accustomed to being pampered and comfortable that we've forgotten the ability to suffer. To suffer and to say, God, with all of this, whatever your desire is in the midst of this, I trust you. You know, that verse 29, it talks about, let him put his mouth in the dust. You know, I ate some dirt the other day. It was an accident. But I did eat some dirt. You know, my granddaughter this morning, our ice maker will sometimes send shards of ice out, you know, a little bit, and she'll pick one up and stick it in her mouth. Well, this morning she thought there was a piece of ice there, and she picked up a little leaf and put it in her mouth, and she goes, what is that, you know? And she took it out, so I gave her some water, you know. I'm a good pappy. Anyway, but that whole idea of that lying face down in the dust, when was the last time you got on your face before God? And look, I don't know. You know, the Bible talks about people doing that, falling prostrate before the Lord. I'm not saying you have to do that physically. But God's word tells us there's a time for us to lay face down before him and lay in the dust and call out to him. See, I think humility comes before hope. before we can truly have hope in our lives, we have to humble ourselves to say, God, I realize I need you. And once we realize we need him, then he shows himself fully capable of whatever your situation is. And that's where our hope comes from. And so I'm going to recommend this to you. If you can get up off the ground by yourself, sometime this week, lay down face down before God, totally prostrate, and say, God, I'm yours. Whatever you desire, I'm yours. Do it physically to remind your soul of the truth of it, that without God, you've got no hope. And then verse 30, turn the other cheek. Isn't this interesting? Most of you thought that Jesus invented that statement. And he did, because he inspired the word of God, you know. But it's right here in God's word. So when Jesus was teaching it, he was teaching them God's word. But he says, listen, let him give his cheek to the smiter. Those who are trying to abuse you, turn the other cheek. And let him be filled with reproach. The other translation says, let him accept the insults that come his way. We spend too much time trying to defend ourselves when we really ought to be just living godly lives. If we're living godly lives, the things that people throw at you aren't going to stick. Our memory verse for the 2 weeks of Faith Builders this week, Mark 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We teach it to them in song, so hopefully it stays with them their whole life long. Learn how to suffer and learn how to take the abuse of other people. I'm not saying that there's never a time when we defend ourselves. But I'm saying the only time we ought to defend ourselves is when the God's holy righteous zeal comes forward to say, this is not going to be a good witness for my Lord. I'm gonna leave that there for you to chew on. Because the last part, Kathy, if we'll go to that mercy. He says, remember these truths. And what are the truths? The Lord will not reject forever. No one is abandoned forever. Verse 32, God causes grief. He allows it to come into our lives. Whatever that situation, he uses it to discipline us, whatever it is. But he also shows compassion, his abundant loving kindness, his unfailing love. And then verse 33, he does not enjoy hurting people or people hurting. God's not going to abandon you. Do you trust him? And even when grief is in your life, that suffering in your life is there, God's also there. And he won't allow you to go through any of it by yourself. He'll show compassion in the midst of it. He won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear, but will be able to bring some way of escape in that. He's going to care for you in the midst of your heartaches. But the last thing you need to know is God's not mean or cruel. He does not afflict willingly or grieve the sons of men. God does not enjoy hurting people. A lot of people grow up with the idea that God's always trying to zap somebody. He's not. But he also does not enjoy people hurting. When there's miseries and all those kind of things, don't think that God inflicted you because he likes it that way. Don't go into a situation where there's hurt and say, well, that's just God's will. That's the way God wanted it. There's a difference between God's will and God's want. There's a lot of things God wills to happen, but doesn't want to happen. Now, he can get anything to happen that he wants to happen. But he allows us to make sins that he does not want us to commit. He allows us to get ourselves into trouble he does not want us to be in. He allows hurting in people to draw them to himself for eternal glory. He doesn't like when you hurt. He is a loving father. Lamentations 3:22, 23. Say it with me. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Do you believe that? Our next slide, we've been putting it up every week. So what's he calling from you? How are you going to live this out this week? How is he going to take his word and bring more hope into your life? How is he going to take his word and allow you to understand what brings good to your life? How is he going to use his word to allow you to know you are living under his mercy every day? Start celebrating it instead of dreading it. Trust your God. Oh, you know, look at 1 John 1, 8, 9, and 10, where it says, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Look up Hebrews chapter 4, where it says that we have a great high priest who's at the throne that understands our weaknesses because he was tempted in every way, even as we are, yet without sin. And so come boldly to the throne of grace when you need help this week. Come boldly to the throne of grace because you have a God who loves you today and he'll love you tomorrow and he'll make that mercy new every morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. And Lord, we thank you that on your to-do list is to love us, to show kindness, to watch over us, to protect us, to prepare hope and a future for us. So, Lord, help us on our to-do list this week to seek you, to wait silently before you, to lay down in humility before you, and to let your mercies be new in our life today and every day till you call us home. Lord, help it to affect the way that we treat others with love and respect. Help it to affect the way that we see our sufferings as things that will grow us in you and things that you are showing us mercy in the midst of. Lord, help us most of all to know whatever comes, we are yours. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, that we are yours may not apply to you. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, you've never surrendered completely to submit to his lordship of your life. You don't belong to God if you don't belong to Jesus. There is no way to get to God apart from Christ Jesus. But today he makes his mercy new for you. Today you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He'll forgive you of your sins, cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and put his Holy Spirit within you. We urge you to do that today. If you have done that, have you forsaken your faith in areas of your life? If so, repent. Confess it. Repent of it. Like David prayed in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Today, you can have a right spirit, no matter if you messed up yesterday or 6 days ago or 6 years, 60 years ago. Today, you can have a right spirit. Allow him to do that new mercy in you today. Let's stand together and we're going to sing one of the great hymns of our faith. The great is thy faithfulness. Sing it with joy if you've experienced it. Come and grab somebody by the hand and say, take me to Jesus today if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior. Let's sing together.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my
Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. I see all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that is. Let him be faithful to you, and you be faithful to him. A couple of our young people, I think, are going to be out there with flyers about next week's dinner. Those that are guests with us, we invite you to stay for lunch and move right over to the other building. Everybody hug somebody before you leave. God bless you.